her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it plans.
I'm not sure there's ever been a better description of a comment slash attitude towards a story. The hell am I talking about? Joshy this morning in our production meeting had an all-timer regarding Shams, I don't know, attitude, behavior, comments about this offseason. So to begin this segment, let's take a listen to what Shams had to say. Look, Giannis is going to dominate the storylines in the NBA. Yes, there are games going on. Yes, the playoffs are going on. But everybody is waiting to see what Giannis is going to do. And maybe he does nothing. Maybe it's just, hey, I'm just standing pat. But here's what Shams had to say about the Giannis drama.
Most craziest ever, dude.
Most craziest ever. Probably grammar police is like, it's craziest
no,
ever.
No, you, no, you no, got your point most, across. It's the most craziest ever.
Because I think what you have right now is you have the parity
English
in the league.
Sucks.
It's so thin right now. Like, as far as the thin line of what you can win a championship or you might be falling into the lottery. And I think the ability to go out there and improve your team and get there to championship level, I think that's on the minds of everyone around the league. So how can you elevate your team? And now you have players like a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I reported a few weeks ago, he is open-minded. He is right now in the process of figuring out, is my home, my I guess forever home, going to be in Milwaukee, or is it time to go pursue a championship somewhere else? I'm told that process is ongoing. There still has not yet been a big moment of truth meeting, I'm told, between the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. That will happen at some point in the offseason.
All right, so a lot of stuff to break down there. We will get to the details of it in a moment. But Joshy, your reaction to the way that Shams approached or described this offseason?
Yeah, he sounds like an excited 10-year-old describing dinosaurs to his friends. Like, he's learning about the Stegosaurus. It's got the most craziest spines you've ever seen on its back. It's so crazy. It really fuels the, and I haven't taken part in this as much as Gabe has, but the utter seeming glee over the idea of Giannis leaving Milwaukee and playing somewhere else. Most craziest ever.
Most craziest ever.
Right. Not only are you grammatically incorrect and sounding like an excited 10-year-old, you really didn't say anything. He's open-minded. That's going to make it so crazy? Like,
I mean, yes, it can be crazy if Giannis says, right, hey, I want out. Then it can become crazy and because you also have potentially Kevin Durant available and all those things. But quickly about dinosaurs, Joshy.
Yes.
I don't know if you have a niece or a nephew. I've got a buddy's friend who is just crazy into dinosaurs. There are so many more types of dinosaurs than when I was a
100%.
Kid.
100%.
The dinosaurs have gone crazy.
Yes, like the amount of dinosaurs that actually exist, like it's gone insane from when I was, when you and I were kids growing up, going to science class, learning about dinosaurs. Most of that's out the window.
Yeah, there were like six. Right.
There was the core.
Yeah, Stegosaurus. Land before time. Triceratops. Exactly. Think land before time. You had the pterodactyl. You had the T-Rex. He was always the bad guy. You had the Brachiosaurus, which when we were young was called the Brontosaurus. My kids are watching Animal Planet Prehistoric. It's available. You can stream it. There's a pterodactyl-like bird that walks on its wings. Okay, so stay with me for a minute. The pterodactyl flies, but then when it lands, it doesn't walk on its feet. The wings fold up. And here, the elbows of the wings, if you will, are what he walks on. I was like, where the hell did this thing come from?
That's AI. They're fake. They're fake. Come on. What are we doing here?
What are you doing?
This is the most fake thing I've ever heard in my life. You know how easy that would be to replicate? Get some concrete, some quickcrete, put it in a bucket. They look like bones.
Pretty sure you can do DNA testing on concrete slash quickcrete until it's not, you know, bone.
It's AI.
Right,
AI's taken over.
Seriously, like the they don't make them easy. Like Jen listed off all the easy dinosaur names. Like I'm looking at this book that my buddy's daughter was showing me. She's eight. Like she's showing me all these different things, or excuse me, she's seven, just turned seven. Like the length of the words, I'm trying to pronounce them, and she's like, no, it's actually said this way. Like, all right, no, Uncle Gabe, this is how
all
you
right.
say it. Okay.
Here you go. Let's create one right now. The man who loves dinosaurs. Let's call it Ashiosaurus, okay? It's got a huge head, arms that like that go like 4 feet behind them, right? I mean, we could make one up. Let's call it Ashiosaurus. Huh?
Yeah, but how does it become doctrine? What, are you just telling people about it, and then do you expect them to pick it up and then pass it on? Like, is this a word-of-mouth thing?
Yeah, it's kinda...
Yeah, if I was on X, hey, I'm digging in my backyard. You'll never guess what I found in Ashiosaurus.
You don't have the steady hand or the technology to pull any of this off. You would never get close to creating a dinosaur.
Fine. No, I need you.
You guys are over here sucking DNA out of an old insect. Yeah. Preserved in amber anyway.
I didn't expect to be on the worldwide plot to lie about dinosaurs. That's not where I thought we'd be today.
Now, do I think the world is flat? No, I don't. But I do. Do I believe in dinosaurs? No, I don't.
But it's again, we've been over this. It's not a belief. Like, they existed.
I don't think so. Yeah, they might have existed, but they weren't 28 feet tall. They were probably 6 feet tall. And they're like, oh, what's, you know... Little CIG or whatever they call it,
CIG, yep.
SIG. It's over there. Puffing a SIG.
Yeah, because they wanted to be cool dinosaurs.
What is it called in the movies when they do that with a...
CGI.
I was close. I got all of...
Yeah, very close.
I want to talk about what he said about the meeting not having happened yet, though. Is it surprising to anybody that there has not been a meeting between the Bucks and Giannis?
Well, so he words it very specifically. So there could have been a meeting last week, but it wasn't the big, hey, decisions being made now. Like, last week could have just been touching base, you know, and because, again, that was a report from Chris Haynes that, hey, these guys are going to be getting together mid last week. Nobody had anything that came out of that. So would it be shocking to me that they got together but didn't decide anything, didn't have this, oh, hey, I want to be traded, or have these pitch, and it was just more of a check-in, see where everybody's at type thing? That wouldn't be shocking. I mean, the deadline is, to me, kind of ticking here of about a month, because in a month we're going to be in getting ready for the NBA draft, and I would think teams would want to have that decision around the draft, because I think the Bucks would want potentially draft picks for this year. You know, and teams starting to put plans together of, okay, who do we need this offseason if we have Giannis? Because we're going to have to supplement around Giannis if we trade for him, because you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. And now you have to make plans around that. So I'm guessing sooner rather than later, that meeting's actually going to have to happen, because if Giannis does go, it's got to be before the draft.
I got to be really honest, guys. This doesn't bother me at all. I am not one of these people who is like, decide already, Giannis. Make a decision already, Giannis. Free us from this uncertainty, Giannis. Nah, man, like, this is a big deal. And for all that Giannis has given this city, for all he has done for Bucks fans and for Milwaukee at large, take your time, man. You don't want to have the meeting? Don't have the meeting. You want to delay the meeting? You want to go do some stuff? Come back, have the meeting? Clear your head? Fine. I am not going to sit here and put a timeline. I know you're mentioning the NBA calendar timeline, but me personally, as a fan, I'm not going to allow my personal frustrations to then be like, I need an answer. We need an answer. So if it drags on, it drags on. That's sort of where I am. And it's sort of like, for all you've done, that's the least that we can do, is let him take his time with this decision.
I just don't understand. What's the pitch? I don't understand what the pitch is. Is the pitch is like, hey, we're going to do everything possible to win a championship. Well, you've been doing that last couple of years and it hasn't worked. What's the pitch?
Well, yeah, but you can't guarantee anybody a championship, especially in today's NBA with all the... I mean, the one thing that Shams did say there was the parity that exists right now within the league, because we're getting our seventh unique champion in as many seasons, something that's never happened in NBA history. It's hard to keep teams together. Like, you got to... So part of it's, hey, you're going to have to be patient. The CBA is making things a little bit more difficult. You got to let us reset. We can start building up some things around you, having some young players in 25-26 season. We're still going to be a competitive team because you're here. And then you allow us to turn the contracts of Kyle Kuzma and Damian Lillard into something else that we can continue to build around that. Who that is? Who knows? Because so many things change on a year-to-year basis in the NBA, but they can be potentially aggressive with those contracts and acquiring players in the 26-27 offseason.
Well, and you want to talk about something else, Chu. It sounds like, according to Mark Stein, that part of the pitch would be, well, Doc Rivers is sticking around. And according to reports, Giannis likes Doc, and that would be a reason for him to remain in Milwaukee, the chemistry and the relationship that he and Doc Rivers have. But that's all going to be part of it. They're going to be we talked about it, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, when they were talking about a gap year. I love this concept, by the way. I love the concept of pitching Giannis on a gap year. Look, we know next year probably not going to be great. We don't have the assets. We probably are going to have a tough time competing. But give us a year. Give us a year to give you your dream house, right?
Yeah.
To me, that is a great way of convincing Giannis that, like, this is your home. We're always going to be loyal to you. You have everything that you want. It's going to take a little bit of time, but we will build this back up to a championship roster. But we need that year from you.
And honestly,
as opposed to going somewhere immediately and being a championship team.
But that's the problem. Like, I think part of the pitch is, okay, if you want us to trade you, we can. But we're not taking a discount for you. And chances are, wherever we trade you to, it's going to be kind of a similar situation as you're in right now. Like, they're not going to be a complete championship contender because we're going to have to take a lot from them in order for them to acquire you.
Anything that's attractive right now as is not going to look that way once the deal is done. Anything that is valuable or is going, Bucks are going to want that in exchange for Giannis. So then he's got a skeleton crew wherever he goes that he's got to work with and figure out. So it's kind of like you can skeleton crew there in your new spot, or you can skeleton crew with us for a year and know that we are dedicated to building this bad boy back up.
How old is Giannis?
30.
30.
So and when do you start going the other way in basketball?
Again, it depends. I mean, you see a lot of guys who are being very productive into their mid and late 30s right now. Steph Curry, LeBron, KD. A lot of different guys are being productive because of the way that they take care of their bodies, because of, you know, what they do in the offseason and the money they put into themselves to extend their careers.
Okay.
So, I mean, in terms of prime Giannis, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he still has 4 more years of what he's been doing the last handful.
Let me ask you this, Gabe. You okay with Doc Rivers sticking around?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of criticism for some of the decisions he makes or doesn't make, or being late to making adjustments. There were people who thought that when they got bounced, he was going to be gone. But now it seems like, again, this relationship with Giannis may be a reason, not the only reason, but a reason to maintain relationship.
My speculation is, so I think he signed a 4-year deal that I'm assuming included the half year, so he's probably got 2 years left on the deal. If Giannis isn't here, I don't know how much interest Doc would have in coaching a young team. Like, he had to be convinced to come out of retirement to coach a team that had Giannis and Dame. Like, I don't know if he wants to coach a young team instead of a veteran team that has an opportunity to compete. I don't think he wants to be part of a rebuild, but he's a fine coach. Like, is he one of the top 5 guys in the league that I think make a difference? Not really, but those guys are pretty few and far between. You know, the guys that truly make a difference. I mean, look at, again, like, Michael Malone won a championship 2 years ago. He just got fired. Like, coaches, I think you can win. A lot of it's in the NBA comes down to what players you have. And I don't think Doc is hindering the Bucks at any moment.
But you're watching these Eastern Conference Finals right now, and you're watching Rick Carlisle, and you're watching Tom Thibodeau. Do you consider them to be game-changing coaches?
No.
Do you consider them to be? No. But Tom Thibodeau has he has a reputation, obviously, but he is very, very well-respected. Rick Carlisle, similarly.
Yeah, but this is also Tibbs' first conference finals. Right? Like, I mean, yeah, Tibbs has a high, yeah, people like him. Until he wears out his welcome, which he's done a bunch of different places. Carlisle, this is his second time in Indiana. Like, yeah, he's a good coach.
He's done a nice job.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not like a top 5 difference-making coach.
Who would you consider in the NBA a top 5 difference-making coach?
So,
are you a Spoelstra guy?
Yeah, so Spo down in Miami is one of those guys. Steve Kerr is one of those guys. Pop's used to mean, but obviously he just retired. Trying to think. Yeah. I think Missoula is good. The guy who used to be there and now is in Houston, I'm blanking on his name.
Udoka?
Yeah, Ime is probably one of those guys. And Ty Lue. Ty Lue's fantastic. Like, I was really hoping that the Clippers were going to let go of Ty Lue when the Bucks were looking after Budenholzer, and obviously they didn't. But yeah, those would be the big difference-making guys as I kind of take a look across the landscape right now.
Let's put it on the Infinity Exteriors poll for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you frustrated that there has not yet been a decision or a meeting even. Let's go with the meeting. The, by all accounts, the meeting, T-H-E, capital T-H-E, meeting, has not taken place, again, according to Shams, because there is a chance that there have been conversations, right, Gabe? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
There's a nuance there of conversations between the Bucks and Giannis, but maybe not the bump, 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 quote unquote, meeting, I mean, that everybody is expecting.
It's not shocking that it hasn't happened, right? Because if Giannis goes into that meeting and says, hey, I want to be traded, that rumor's going to get out. But if he says, hey, I'm sticking around, I mean, whoever's job it is for the Bucks to leak information, they are sprinting to their phone to text Shams that he's sticking around, right? So,
they're hiring an airplane. You're gonna skywrite it, you know, like all of the things. Well, remember when the Pope was announced?
And the white smoke. Yeah,
we're gonna have that off of one of the top buildings here in Milwaukee. Yeah, there will be no shortage of announcements if Giannis decides that he is in fact staying in Milwaukee. We roll on right after this, but before we do, I want to tell you about my friends over at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Conveniently located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee's theater district, it's got deluxe accommodations, it's got culinary creativity, you've got on-site art galleries, there is an artist in residence. So you can walk through the lobby of St. Kate and you can see an artist doing art, making things right there in the lobby, and of course the nightly live music. Book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can answer the question.
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Potawatomi Casino Hotel Milwaukee is known for its endless ways to win. Friday, June 27th, they are showing why that is the standard with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is up for grabs. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Potawatomi. More information available online. Must be 21 years old to play. You say it, but you just don't mean it. Stay with me on this one, okay, gang? Got a little curveball for you. So I saw a story on Instagram yesterday that was talking about Texas Tech. Cool. Why? Here, let me explain. I did a story a few weeks ago on the pitcher for the Texas Tech softball team. Her name is Nigerie Kennedy, and she's a stud. Absolute stud. She's got a sub-1 ERA. She's also hit like 12 dingers this season. But the big story about Nigerie was that Texas Tech offered her a 7-figure NIL deal, $1 million and some change. And it was the biggest deal ever for a softball player. Now, the story that we did was about how this opens the door for more universities, for other people to spend in non-traditional sports, not necessarily football, not necessarily basketball, but to start putting their money elsewhere. The reason Texas Tech is coming under fire is because their Matador Club, which is their collective, is spending boatloads of money, like obscene amounts of money. So much so that Nigerie Kennedy, who is a feel-good story on the softball field and now has Texas Tech in the Women's College World Series, starting tomorrow, by the way, for the first time ever, people are saying, okay, well, what does that mean for the football program? And so, Chu, I wanted to ask you this. Last year, Ohio State, which you are connected to in some way, wins the national title. And we know it, it's on record, spent more than $30 million to build that roster. So now you've got other universities. They're getting in this mix. They got billionaires. They got people with deep pockets. And they are now buying championships, or at least trying to. Does this bother you, Chu? Are you frustrated by this being the state of big time college athletics now?
It doesn't frustrate me now. I think there is a better system, and the NCAA screwed that up because they didn't want to give up any of their television revenue. And we talked about it years ago. But I have no problem with Texas Tech giving $1 million to a softball player. My guess is there were probably some alumni connected to the softball program that donated a lot of money. So I have no problem whatsoever. The system should have been NCAA give up a part of the television revenue and have a pay scale for players where there is no NIL. Quarterback obviously gets X amount if he's good, and it trickles down from there, but seems like we're too late in the game now to fix it, and we're stuck with NIL, and it is what it is.
Well, yeah, but if you're paying players, then you have to, I mean, directly, you're going to open the doors for endorsement deals. And
sure, sure.
The problem with this, though, is, I don't know, I don't have an endless supply of money lying around. That's where I wonder here, because at least in the old pre-NIL days, when people would donate money to the school, oh, your name's on the library. Oh, we're going to name this dormitory hall after you. Like, like there's something more tangible. Like, whoever ultimately donates this $1 million to the softball player, like, good for her. Like, awesome. Good for her. How many more people are going to do that? Like, how much can these companies continue to throw $1 million at a player year after year after year with really no return on investment? Now, there's some people out there that do have the deep, endless pockets and just want to see their college program succeed, certainly. But this is, again, I don't have a problem with it because you're paying coaches, I mean, coordinators, not even head coaches, coordinators getting millions of dollars, like 2 million plus, 3 million plus, just for coordinators in college football. When you start seeing that, yeah, these players deserve a cut. And then the NCAA decided to do absolutely nothing about it.
Huh. But my thing is, don't be mad at Ohio State.
Oh, no,
because
absolutely
their alumni
not.
Wants to pony up money.
No.
And Wisconsin only wants to pony up $1.5 million. Well, you're not going to win. I'm sorry. Under this format, you're not going to win. But don't be mad at the school that's willing and their alumni to give up that money to get a national championship. You want a national championship? This is the system now, okay? Get your alumni together and get deeper pockets. If not, don't blame the university's alumni who are willing to do this. I just think it's, you know, I think it's stupid.
Hasn't teams like Ohio State and USC and them been buying championships since this sort of existed?
Well, but it was under the table, right? It was
right.
All like, it was
so now we're
bags of money and McDonald's
right.
bags and all of that stuff. But to be honest with you, Joshy, you could only buy a few players before. You couldn't do it so much that it blew the whistle on you because it was all illegal.
Yeah.
It was under the table. Now it's out in the open. And my point of bringing this up is if Texas Tech is spending $1 million on a softball player, and by the way, she's tremendous. She's worth every penny. I talked to that coach. He's like, I'd rather have her on the field than a $40 million stadium. That's how valuable this young lady is to the team. What do you think they're going to spend on football players? What do you think they're going to spend on basketball players? Like, they have an endless supply of money. I don't have an issue with it because I'm a don't hate the player, hate the game. And Chewy, to your point, if this is how it is structured, but what I want to be clear on is programs like Wisconsin, unless you find billionaires mm-hmm. with a B who are willing to fund this, or former players who are now professional athletes. Maybe you got to tap into the Watt family and say, hey, JJ, you're making a lot of money from that beer endorsement, from that car endorsement. How much are you willing to kick over so that Wisconsin can go out and get some top-tier athletes and field a competitive team? Because if you think they spent $30 million last year for Ohio State to win the championship, they're only going to spend more than that this year. It's just going to keep going up. So, to me, again, I have no issue with it, but don't be surprised if Texas Tech is a player in the next couple of seasons because they're starting to pay people and find people that can bolster that roster so that they can be in the mix, so they can be in the college football playoff. I just don't know if it makes people upset and that's what I saw yesterday on social media. There were people complaining about Nigeri being paid and what that means for the other big ticket sports and then how that affects Texas Tech specifically spot Gabe in the landscape of college football, college basketball.
Honestly, the only way, I guess, to get it more under control than it currently is, how long ago is that where Mark Lazary was talking about how they were looking into potentially buying college teams? Like, it'd be a further professionalization of college sports where you have owners, you have a collective bargaining agreement, and then you've got X amount of dollars in a salary cap, because they're even talking about trying to limit the spending for schools in the lawsuit that's currently going on that they're trying to get approval for. Like, that's just going to get challenged even more and more and more and more. And unless you kind of get that professionalization aspect of it, I think it's going to be really tough to kind of curb a lot of the spending unless they're going to try to chew. Like, that's what they're trying to get approved. And they're trying to figure out a way where it doesn't get challenged legally. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm not a legal man. I'm not that smart. I don't know how you do that.
Well, it would be nice to say, all right, football, you're capped at $20 million. If you don't want to spend the $20 million, that's fine. But the teams that are willing to, all you can do is spend $20 million.
Yeah, but again, it becomes like NIL deals, right? Like, who's to say the quarterback can't make X amount of dollars at Ohio State or Texas or, you know, one of these big-time programs? You know, well, my quarterback can make this in endorsement deals because we're in this big of a market instead of the quarterback at, you know, Northwestern. I just don't know how you actually, and again, the NCAA hasn't really shown any sort of interest in enforcing anything. So that's the other thing. I don't know how you do that unless you get outside parties involved like owners.
So let me rattle off the list, guys, of the teams that spent the most money last year, programs that spent the most money last year in NIL. Okay. And, you know, it's going to be eerily similar. It's going to be eerily similar to that playoff field, but let me go ahead and give you the list. Texas Longhorns, Ohio State Buckeyes, Oregon Ducks, Clemson Tigers, Georgia Bulldogs, Penn State Nittany Lions. Anything I rattle off that list, Gabe. Is there anything that seems familiar about that list?
No, it's just not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
No, it's the teams that were in the playoff. And it just feels like now, guys, again, I'm a gambling gal. I'll admit it. I'm going to look and see who spent the most money this offseason. I'm going to look and see who spent the most money in NIL. I'm going to start putting my money behind those teams because it seems like this is as simple as you're paying these players to play and the return on investment is being in the college football playoffs. Joshy, is that wrong? Is that a bad strategy?
I'm having a real hard time deciphering what is different aside from the players getting money openly. Because the best programs traditionally had tons of money invested in their facilities, invested in all the stuff around it, and that, therefore, if those players weren't getting underhanded money through a pastor who, you know, whatever it was, they were still being incentivized and driven there because of all the other perks that these big universities, the Texases, the Oregons, the USCs, all had that advantage over a Wisconsin or a Purdue. I don't know how much different it is other than we know players are getting paid.
Well, the big difference, I think, is when you sprinkle in the transfer portal on top of it.
Right.
Right. So, like, in terms of what Wisconsin used to do is, like, again, we hate hearing draft and develop for the Packers, but under Barry, under Paul Christ until the end, they were really good at developing players like J.J. Watt, for example, who was a tight end before he became the beast he became rushing the passer for the Wisconsin Badgers. And that part of the program is really hard to do because you start developing someone, then they go, well, I can make more money over there, and they can just jump ship. So I think I don't think that can be ignored as a part of this, because that's a big difference as well, where it's harder to maintain a lot of that talent and actually grow that team.
But Gabe, it's even worse for the MAC and FCS schools.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because all your good players are going.
Yes.
You know, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Indiana was just JMU moved over.
Yeah, just JMU West.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm having a hard time is deciphering if the ire on NIL is misplaced and we should be looking elsewhere. Because it seems like putting the onus on the players instead of the programs and the universities and the system is beneficial to whatever comes after this. Because I don't think this is sustainable. And I think we're going to see a lot of fingers pointing at athletes and it's going to be to tamp down and to get the money out of their
pockets. Well, and I'm glad that you bring that up, because when Nigeri Kennedy's deal, and that's what started this whole thing, the Women's College World Series starts tomorrow. Texas Tech is in it for the first time ever, in part because they gave $1 million to her to come over and be the stud that she is, right? She was criticized. There was criticism. There was, no one is worth that. Why are they investing in softball? Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is over there watching the softball games for Texas Tech because he's invested in the Matador Club while he's on a commercial shoot. Like, it's big business. And I use that as a gateway to say, if Texas Tech is spending $1 million on a softball player, what in the world makes you think they're going to stop anywhere near that to field and fund a football team? And I think Kirk Cignetti, to bring up the Indiana thing that you just did, didn't he name Texas Tech as one of the teams when he was out there tattling on people? Wasn't Texas Tech one of the teams that he was saying they were spending record numbers this season? It's not sustainable. The money will dry up eventually. But I think for these billionaires, if you can buy a championship, that memory lasts forever. That trophy lasts forever. The problem is, it is only going to further create the disparity between the haves and the have-nots. And I had somebody on the talk and text line on the YouTube stream jump in and say, college sports is turning into baseball. It's not really a fun sport when you have such diversity in the amount of money that each team is spending. That from Janet in the YouTube stream.
Are we sure the money's going to dry up? Like, because I agree. Like, I think it will. But also, I'm not sure if it will.
Well, the universities
because these people with money aren't typically just reckless with money. That's how they end up with this high amount of money. And if they're willing to throw $1 million here, $1 million there, in their mind, they're probably going, yeah, I can do this just about every year. Right?
I think there's going to be a haves and have-nots of the spenders.
Oh,
and
sure.
Once that I
don't disagree
right,
with.
Right. Once there's not production and we don't, because guess what? When you have lots of money and you're putting it all towards there, when the program starts making decisions you don't like, guess who turns off the valve? The people who get everything they want all the time.
And it's a great point by you. Guess who also has huge influence in hiring athletic directors and hiring head coaches and the direction. And, oh, by the way, I'm paying for that kid and I need him to play. We expect him to be on the field. Well, now the coach is like, well, my hands are tied. Like, that's not the direction I was going to go, but since you're spending all that money, I guess I need to follow suit. It's just a very interesting thing. And again, it was surprising to me that Nyjah was used as sort of the... she kind of represents, because it's easy to look at $1 million for a softball player and go, record scratch? What? And then say, how is this going to affect the other sports? And here in Wisconsin, I can't help but think, like, unless they start getting... You know, again, billionaires with a B investing in the football program, we are looking at a drought of Wisconsin being one of the top teams.
You can see how it can get messy in high school, too, now with high schools allowing NIL. What's to keep from USC coming into Wisconsin, who's got the number one offensive lineman, and say, hey, you're still in high school? How about we give you $500,000 high school NIL money and then steer him towards USC? That's going to happen. It's probably already happening, right?
I mean, I don't know.
So your alumni are going to be the one.
Well, because
the weird thing is,
because it's going to come down to an alumni, and I don't know if an alumni wants to spend $500K on that. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, if he's the top quarterback, Gabe,
weren't there stipulations from the WIA? What were those again?
For Wisconsin?
Yeah, I thought there was something about not allowing, like, outside, or I forget, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like they were kind of trying to limit it to avoid that exact thing of recruiting kids and paying them basically 2 years in advance.
And because you have to go directly through the kid.
Yeah.
There's no agents.
It's kind of a mess.
Yeah. Just a quick, I don't see anything from the outside. Like, I think the money can kind of come from anywhere.
Really? Yeah.
Hey, hopefully your big takeaway from this conversation is start putting your money on the teams that are spending money. Right?
I ain't
gonna go down to Pottawatomie, put a little wager on the old College World Series.
BC, write me a check for my NIL money, and then, you know what? Maybe
they're going to be knocking
you
on your door.
They're going to be asking you for money, pal.
That ain't happening.
Going to be getting a call here from good old Bill O'Brien shortly.
Chewy, buddy, friend.
Star 7.
Can you imagine the wrath? The wrath in Chewie's household if he donated to BC and his wife Angie sees it and goes, "Hey, what's this $15,000 for?" "Well, I was talking with Bill and they had a line on a really good tight end.
He said I had a little damage in my dorm 35 years ago that I had to pay off."
Too many CIGs. Yeah. Looking for a home can be a lot of things. Stressful, time-consuming, expensive. But looking for a home should be an exciting chapter in your life. The We Sell group at Keller Williams knows this. Their passion is people. And guys, I got to tell you, throughout our home search, they have been so helpful. Every day, I am getting updates from the We Sell group about options for our family. And we've narrowed it down as well. It is a lengthy process. We want to make sure we get the exact right spot for our family. But you know what? Every step of the way, the We Sell group has been helping us get closer and closer to our dream, and they can do the same for you. The We Sell group's selling process makes sure that the best and most competitive offers are made on your home. So get started on a stress-free journey today at the We Sell group, wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as well.
They don't work. They're called poop. They're really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of brust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
At Pro Football Focus have another list out. It is the season of lists. And this one ranks the quarterbacks. And Jordan Love is ranked 12th. So here's a list of some of the guys who are ranked above Jordan Love. Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford. Who's Daniels? Why can't I think of Daniels?
Rookie of the year.
It's pretty good.
You want to know what my brain went to? Chase Daniels.
Nope, not the one.
I knew that.
And I'm pretty sure he's only just Chase Daniel.
Yeah, good call. Jaden Daniels, good call. Jordan Love is overrated, underrated, or properly rated? Chew at 12 in the league right now.
How I want to answer that is...
Man, can we roll that back?
Yeah. We'll time out here. We'll take it from the top, Chew.
12 is not acceptable when you're making the amount of money he is. I expect him to be 5, 6, or 7. So whether that's underrated, overrated, properly rated, he needs to pick up his game. Fair?
Yeah. I think it's just really hard to kind of break through. So the top four, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, and Allen. Like, that's just really hard to break through. Like, we're talking about the greatest quarterback of his generation, a guy who's got two MVPs, a guy who just won another MVP, and Joe Burrow is a fantastic player. So I think it's tough to break through to that. Yeah, can he get, I mean, does he have to get, I think, into the bottom part of the top 10? Maybe creep up into that 7, be better than Stafford, be better than Daniels. Yeah, I think that's the area where he's got to live.
Did you include Jalen Hurts in that list?
Hurts is 5.
I know that, but I'm saying when you were rattling off your elite guys, you were just doing the other 4.
Yeah, I don't know if Hurts is really good. I think he's fantastic. He's not as good as those other 4.
But when you watch Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love play head-to-head, and I know it doesn't go offense v offense, but doesn't Jalen Hurts look a lot better? Doesn't it feel like, I mean, when I watch...
Depends upon what game you watch for Jalen Hurts. Like, the playoff game, they were kind of equal. And then Hurts got better and played better as the playoffs went along, but, like, Jalen Hurts wasn't great
in that
Packers
Eagles game. Let's do a quick exercise. Of the guys who are above Jordan Love on this list, Pro Football Focus ranking the quarterbacks of the league, who does he have a legit chance this season of passing?
Geno's a glaring example.
Yeah. Geno's a glaring. Goff.
Geno, Purdy. I mean, Goff. You have an opportunity with Goff, especially with the new OC there.
Stafford, maybe just because he's aging and he's not going to be the same as he has been. But I think the point I'm making is what I think it's the same point that you're making, which is it's going to be tough for, like, what would he have to do to eclipse a lot of these guys to jump into?
That's easy. Play like he did in the second half of 2023.
Win an MVP.
So easy. Why hasn't he freaking done it?
Well, but that's the level that he has to sustain throughout an entire season to get to the point that we're talking about. To be in the conversation, to be even in the conversation with Daniels, to be in the conversation with Hurts, and potentially touch those other four.
How about make a Pro Bowl? A real Pro Bowl? You know? I mean, you're making what? $55 million? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
North of that?
No, it's 55. The bunch of other guys are in that group.
Play like it. You know? 12 is not acceptable, gang.
No, not if you want to go. Not if you want to get to where you want to go.
When we were talking about signing him, we were like, hey, he's got to be a top five. He's got to be a top seven. 12 is not acceptable.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're arguing with.
Yeah, and nobody's fighting you on that.
Not a single person.
Like, if you want to get to where you have to go, or where you want to go, Jordan Love's got to be better. Yeah.
So I think it's interesting because I think when you think about Jordan Love in a vacuum, and you're not comparing him to the other guys in the league, I think you could sit there and go, he's a hell of a quarterback. He's a really good quarterback. But then you see this list in front of you, and I'm going, whoa. Like, you're right. He has got to perform better. He has got to be better. Because I don't like seeing Brock Purdy above Jordan Love. I don't like seeing Geno Smith above Love. I don't like seeing Jared Goff, again, he is in part because of the pieces around him. He's having a lot of success because they have really built that roster around him. But, like, it's going to be tough for him to eclipse Jaden Daniels based on what we saw from Jaden Daniels. You're going to have to hope for a sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels in order for Jordan Love, I think, to pass him. And then you're in that list of where you mentioned the top five guys, including Hurts. Where, yeah.
But even if you're in the conversation with Daniels, that's a huge leap. That's a big step forward to go from 12 to 6. Like, to be in that conversation, but that's where he needs to be.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still much more to get to. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could,
it
like
egg?
An egg? I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chamorro household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. For Mental Health Awareness Month, BetterHelp surveyed 16,000 people across 23 countries for its first ever State of Stigma report. It found that while 75% of people believe it is wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are actually in therapy. You guys know I love my job, telling stories for the network, but you also know that a lot of the stories I've had to tell are heavy, tragic, and devastating. And I can't help but think that some of those stories wouldn't have to be told if people got the help they need. BetterHelp is here to help. With more than 35,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served more than 5 million people globally. And it is so convenient. You can join a session with the click of a button in your home. It fits into your busy life, and you can switch therapists at any time. We are all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. Check out the polls this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, our Infinity Exterior poll. Can you freeze bread? 90% of people said yes.
You can freeze it. It ain't going to taste good.
It doesn't taste bad. I don't think that I've ever noticed, actually. Again, don't defrost it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Just leave it out on your counter. Let it thaw. Let it defrost. It'll be fine. Nice and soft.
Well, plus, what do you care? I thought you were freezing it and then feeding the bread to the birds anyway. What do you care if the birds think the taste is good or not?
No, I don't like the birds down here piss me off.
Okay, then.
I don't like them. They crap everywhere.
That's just birds in general.
No, but they take monster dudes.
Totally unique experience for you there in Florida.
I wish people could relate.
Totally unique experience coming your way tomorrow, 7 to 9 here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.